We'll see. All righty. Hey, there's been so much good. I was talking to Gary this morning. Wow. Just so many good things. He told me to admonish all of you guys to remember the things he said while he was here. He said, tell them all to remember those things that were said. A lot of good things coming forth, man. A lot of good things. So, well, the only thing I can say is that there's been much on our mind, much on the things of God. You know, we've been talking about intent for quite a while, haven't we? Intent is the will, what you intend to do. It's the thought in your heart, really. It's how your heart thinks. Is your heart thinking toward the flesh, or is your heart thinking toward God? What thoughts are there? You know, so what we want to do is try to gear you toward thinking about the things of God. Why do we think about the things of God? Because of the Spirit of God that comes from heaven, that speaks through the apostle and the elder, goes out to you. You receive it. You meditate on it. Give it back in a tithe. God grows you thereby. You're regenerated. You see where I'm going with this? All of these, it's an operation that's constantly in effect. So what happens is people say, well, I haven't received a word from God. Yes, you have. You've received many words from God. What you have to do is meditate on those words, allow God to add to it, and he will add to it. Instead of you chasing it and trying to put your knowledge to it or reasoning it out or whatever, just let God give it to you. And people say, well, that's easy to say and hard to do. No, it isn't. Your part is just thinking on the word that was given to you and allow God to add to it. God doeth the works. That's the thing that's important. That's what you have to think about. And I'm going to say something here, too, also, even about our young people. Sometimes from the outward appearance, they don't appear to have the zeal that you have to want to learn the things about God, right? But here's the secret about the Word of God. If you hear it, it goes in. Is there power to the Word of God? There's a lot of things that have been heard, and you never know when it's going to pop up again. Remember, thoughts and words are spirit. So we're talking about spirit, not a physical hearing. You understand what I'm saying? We're talking about the spirit working something out. That is a good thing. You allow the spirit to work it out, you never know what's going to happen with you. You never know when understanding is going to come. And we think we can get understanding just by the scriptures. And if that was the case, then the religion that's been going on for centuries would have gotten the understanding because they studied scripture. You see what I mean? It's not by scripture. It's by the Spirit of God that gives us the wisdom and understanding that we have. Wisdom and understanding is part of the Spirit. It's part of the Spirit of God. Wisdom and understanding is the godly woman. It's the godly woman speaking to you. Wisdom and understanding is the dream and the vision. Wisdom and understanding is what God brings forth from his word, from the apostle. It's a baptism. It's a regeneration. It's a reproof. It's all of those things. This word is very powerful. It does many different things in many different ways. That's the key. But it's God doing it, isn't it? Here's the thing, we keep worrying so much about what we have to do. This is not about a we have to do anything. It's about us believing from the one who does do it. We believe him. We believe the works of God. We believe the Spirit of God. We believe the Word of God. We believe the dream of God, the trance of God. We believe everything that comes forth that comes from God. So what we have to do is make sure we can discern when our thought is on God and when our thought is on self. Whether it's something that's coming from the flesh or whether it's something coming from heaven. So we tell you, we admonish you all the time. Listen to these words that come forth. Don't be fooled by the image that you see. This image messes us up so bad. I keep saying that. I'm going to keep saying it. You look at the person and say, ah, he's a man. Yeah, you keep on saying that. That's true. But what's coming out of the man is from heavenly. It is the heavenly. So I want to take you to something today. I think it's the Is it the 16th chapter of Matthew? I'll go to it here. Let's see. You notice what I put up here? Your intent in God. Okay? Now, your intent in God has to be based on, what if I was to tell you, has to be based on faith. Your intent in God has to be based on faith. The reason I say that, did God start us all off with faith? Let's look at something here. Actually, I want to go to another scripture first. Let's go to Romans 12. And then we'll come back to John 16. Now listen to this. I beseech you therefore, brethren. So who's he speaking to? Church, isn't he? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by, this is Paul writing the book of Romans. Some people believe Paul didn't write the book of Romans. Whoever wrote it, they wrote what God gave him by the Spirit. Okay? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. What body is he talking about? Spiritual body, not this. People think this is what they present. No, you have a spiritual body in Christ. You have a spirit man inside of you. Present that, okay? So it says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Well, how's it going to get holy? How's it going to be acceptable to God? It's going to have to be through what you learn in the Word, right? It's going to have to be through the Spirit of God that leads you. It's going to have to be through the Holy Ghost. You have to, it says holy. What is holy? It's the Holy Ghost. It's what God is. He's holy, okay? So it has to be the attributes of God, acceptable unto God. That's why it is acceptable, because it is holy and God's holy. So it'll be acceptable unto him, okay? And it says, which is your reasonable service. We should be doing this. For all the things God has done for us, we should be doing this. We should be returning back to God the love that he gave us. And we're going back to him in love again. If you love him, you'll keep his commandments. Right? And you have to love the Lord thy God with what? Here we go again. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you do that, what's left for something else? For another spirit, another way? There's not going to be anything left for it to work with. See? It'll be totally given to God. So, what a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. First thing you got to start dealing with is how you think about yourself. Are you a son, or are you full of pride in the flesh? What are you? See? What are you? What do you think of yourself? Or do you think you're not even fit for the kingdom of God? How many of you have ever had a thought like that? I don't know if I'm even worthy of what God's doing. Or you may say it this way, I don't know if I can ever attain to the things that God says, because I just don't have it. I'm just not the person. How many times have you thought things like that? See, this is not what God wants you to think. For I say through the grace given unto me. So is it grace, the ministry that God does in you? Is God doing the ministry? Yeah. Through the grace given unto me. So this was given unto him. By who? By God. To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. We think more highly of ourselves when we start using our knowledge and our reasoning. Think about this. We think that's going to get us to God and that we have the answer. So are we thinking higher than we should be of ourselves? Are we thinking that our knowledge is enough for us to get it there? Our reasoning about it, what we think, our intellect, do we think that's what's going to do it? One of the things they knew about those disciples, when they came before that Sanhedrin court, they said, how are these men withstanding us in the word of God? How? They're ignorant and unlearned. Didn't they say that? According to what man says, they were ignorant and unlearned. Huh? They didn't know what we know. That's what they're saying. So did their knowledge, that Sanhedrin court, get them in trouble? Because they thought they were above the apostles that were coming to them. But they found out real quick when Peter started speaking that word, I said, listen to this. How can they do this? These are ignorant and unlearned. How can they withstand us? We know so much. See? And they did, though, didn't they? Peter said, are we to obey God or men? He said, you know what? This same Jesus whom you crucified, all this, I'm going to tell you the story, man. We've been with him. And they took note of it. They had been with Jesus. That's how they could withstand. The spirit will always withstand the intelligence of man, won't it? Because that's all flesh. That's all here, isn't it? The spirit of God is God's wisdom and understanding. Through his spirit, what man can compete with that? So all Peter had to do was just sit back and say, okay, Lord, this is yours. Speak your word from heaven. And when God spoke it through Peter, those men couldn't do nothing with him. So the last thing they do, they threaten him. Say, okay, this is the thing. Didn't we strictly tell you? Don't go out and preach and teach in his name no more. That's where Peter said, are we to obey God or men? He's letting them know, hey, dude, as soon as you let us go. And when they let him go, where'd they find him? In the marketplace, preaching Christ. Another place they beat him, didn't they? And they went back. They said they were happy to suffer for the name of Jesus. Because you know what? They're going to go right back there again and do it again. You ain't going to stop them. This is the Spirit working. This is the Spirit of God. This is the authority and wisdom and power of God working. How are you going to stop that? How are you going to stop the power of God from working? No man can do that. This is powerful. So that's what gave them what they needed. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Don't use your wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Use God's. But to think soberly, that's what you do. When you're thinking soberly, guess what? Soberly, you're saying, it ain't mine. It's got to be God's. It's not my wisdom. It's got to be God's wisdom. It's not my understanding. It's got to be God's understanding. It's not my knowledge. It's got to be God's knowledge, right? If you're sober, you will say that. If you are drunk off of your own knowledge, you will not say that. You wonder what a lot of the drunkenness is? It's your own knowledge. It's your own reasoning. You get drunk off of that spirit that's given to you of knowledge of men. This is the key. So don't be drunk with that. Be sober. Okay? Soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Let's read that again. Because people say, I don't have anything. Wait a minute. According as God hath dealt to every man the what? The measure of faith, huh? Whatever that measure is, huh? Now, here's the thing. So we start off with something, don't we? Are we here? Why are we here if we didn't have faith to believe in God? You started with something, didn't you? Is that what's going to be built? What is faith? What is faith? Scriptural answer. It's Jesus. It's the Spirit of Christ. That is faith. That is faith. So every time you talk about faith, you're talking about Jesus in you. And being sober about it, allowing him to do what he needs to do. You're talking about the faith of the Son of God that was given to us in measure. God gave us a measure of it because the Son is within. So if you have the Son within, do you have a measure of faith? Is it Christ in you, the hope of glory? Yes. That's your faith. That is your faith. Wow. So when it says to exercise faith, what are you really exercising? Christ in you. You're doing what? You're feeding him these things of wisdom and understanding. And he grows in the wisdom and stature of God, doesn't he? In you. Isn't that true? This is how it works. So it's the Christ in you. It's the anointing in you. Isn't that what it is? There's a measure of faith in you. There's a measure of faith in your Son. There's a measure of faith in your Son. You may not always see it. There's a measure of faith. Measure of faith. But what it is, God gives you something to start with. If you want to come and get understanding of that, you will never know about it if you're just walking around out there doing your own thing and never consider God. You won't even know it's in you. You don't even know the Son is in you. You don't even know the Word of God, do you? You know nothing. You're just moving about in your earthly way and doing your thing and saying, there may be a God, but that's okay. He's not involved with what I'm doing. You see what I mean? There's a lot of people like that. But here's the thing. Measure of faith given to every man, right? Okay, now I'm going to take you to something. Go to the 16th chapter, I think, of Matthew. 16:1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. So, here's the key. Do they have any faith? Yeah, but they want him to do something so I can believe. We're like that sometimes. God, do something. Make me right. Isn't that what you tell them sometimes in your prayers? Make me do right. No, God's not going to make you do right. You have to have your intent in God is to be that, to be right, to have the righteousness of God, to have the faith of God, to allow God to work in you. What is your intent? What is your will inside of you? Do you want God to do the things that he desires to do in you? That's the big question right off the bat. Do you actually want this? And do you want it with all your heart? That's the key. So first thing, Pharisees, Sadducees, show me a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? Can you discern what's happening in your world right now? Really, he's not talking about, we're not talking about walking around a physical earth talking to physical men. Can you discern the times that are working in your mind right now, in your world? Can you discern that the Christ has come to you in your world and he's speaking to you right now? Now, here's the thing. Can you accept him? He's coming to you right now. Isn't he talking to him here now? Isn't it in their world? Can you accept that? See, they don't realize what's actually happening. He's giving them their opportunity to what? Your intent in God. Exercise that faith. Find that faith that's in every man. You see? He's creating the opportunity to use it. But he calls them hypocrites, doesn't he? Then he says, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Wow. Why was that such a big thing? What happened with Jonas? Hell for 3 days, swallowed up by what? The whale, the big fish. And actually in Jonah, it never says whale. Do you ever notice that? Whale is not used until you go to the New Testament. But even when you interpret it, it's the great fish. And a great fish was created by God to swallow him, right? And he was in hell for, he experienced enough of it, didn't he? He cried out from the midst of that hell, didn't he? And that great fish took him to dry land and vomited him up. It actually uses that term. All the stomach contents, everything that was there, he came right out with it. He vomited him up. Think maybe Jonah maybe made that fish sick? Yeah. And he vomited him up on dry land. Wow. That's powerful. The sign of Jonas. So he's telling them, sometimes you're going to need a hell experience before you believe. Have you ever thought of it that way? Sometimes you're going to need a hell experience before you'll believe. What did Dan tell us? You got to go to that pit. But in that pit, can you make decisions? You say, I am tormented in this place, man. I don't like this place. Jonah cried out from the belly of that fish, didn't he? Lord, I'm paraphrasing. I don't like this. I don't like where I'm at. I'm suffering. I'm tormented here. Get me out of here. And God did. God did. But he had to go through that experience before his mind changed, didn't he? So he had to come to the faith that God had already put in him, huh? The measure he had. He was already a prophet, wasn't he? But he was running from the will of your intent in God. His intent was to get away from what God wanted him to do. Sometimes we're like that and we don't even realize we're like a Jonas. Running away from the will of God. We'd rather use our own thing. We're going to come up another way. Better use that faith he gave you. He left them and departed. When his disciples were come on the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Now look where their thought went. Look where their thought went. They didn't bring bread with them, so they're thinking that he, when he talks about leaven, they compare it to what we would say, the leaven that goes in bread, natural bread, to make it rise, yeast, right? That's not what he was talking about. Now listen to this. And they reasoned among themselves, verse 7. Oh, where'd they get in trouble? Where'd they get in trouble? Oh, so they're already putting in what they think it is as opposed to what God says it is. Isn't that what a problem is? This is the distraction I talked about between that repentance and receiving the baptism. You get it? This is the distraction. You reason, you just got distracted from what the Lord just told you. You're distracted from it. They reason among themselves. That's your distraction. That wisdom and understanding of man, that knowledge of man, it just pulled you right off. But listen to this. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said to them, oh, ye of little faith. Wait. Now we're going right back to the faith again, aren't we? Oh, ye of little faith. How did he know they had little faith? They reasoned. Faith says, I'll listen to God. Faith says, I'll believe God. Faith says, I'll be led by God. What did they do? They reasoned among themselves, no faith, we're going to get the answer. Ah, we're going to come up with the answer. What about God? He's right there. We're going to come up with the answer. What about Jesus? He's right there. The anointing's right there. They bypassed the anointing and went to their reasoning, didn't they? Oh, so how do we know they didn't use the faith? Oh, ye of little faith. He knew it because they reasoned among themselves. Wow. Said, when he perceived it, he said to them, oh, ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Uh-oh, he comes right out and says it, huh? Why are you reasoning? I'm right here. Why are you reasoning? He's asking them. You know, why are you reasoning? Okay. Because you have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets ye took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets ye took up. In one, the first one, they took up 12 baskets. In the second one, they took up 7 baskets. A fragment's left over. Now think about what he's saying. You saw the miracle of it. You saw the work. You saw the anointing. So why are you reasoning because you haven't brought bread? See how small their minds were? They went to something outward, didn't they? We didn't bring bread to eat. Is he talking about outward bread or is he talking about inward bread? Ah. How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Wow, they immediately put it right to natural outward bread. And he said, wait a minute, I told you it was the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So it can't be bread. If you had taken enough time to think before you started reasoning, you would have realized what I was telling you. I'm going to paraphrase it. That's what he's saying. Couldn't be bread. Couldn't be bread that you bring to eat for us to eat. This has to be something else because it's leaven that the Pharisees and the Sadducees have. Now look at what happens next. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Wow, did understanding come? Yeah. See, what does it say? What word does it use? Then understood they. Wait a minute, some understanding came, huh? Now we know what he's talking about. Now we understand. When we quit reasoning and listen to what he's saying, he will reason and bring things forth, right? He said Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, wait a minute, okay. Now we're talking about men or the spirit of men. And now we're talking about what? Beware of their leaven. Beware of what they put into you that makes you rise up. Rise up to what? use your own knowledge and understanding, right? Here we go again. The pride comes. The rising up of knowledge of man comes. The wisdom of man comes. You rise and it puffs you up. Doesn't the scripture say it puffs you up? We know that knowledge puffeth up. Oh, so it rises, huh? It's leaven. What do you think he was warning them about on those Pharisees and those Sadducees? That's exactly what they did. Knowledge puffeth up. He's warned them against knowledge, against their reasoning. He said, don't be like the Pharisees. In other words, were they like the Pharisees when they said, oh, we didn't bring any bread? Yes, they were. Just like them. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Wow. Wow. Doctrine. Didn't it say in those churches, those seven churches, doctrines of devils and doctrines of false prophets and doctrines of the Nicolaitans? Doctrines. What do you think the doctrine of the Nicolaitans is? Just what you just read. They come up with their own knowledge, their own reasoning. They say they're men of God, and yet it has nothing to do with God. Yet they use the word of God, but they go by their own understanding. Their faith, the intent in God and them, is in what they know. Wow. What if I told you the intent, your intent in God has a lot to do with what you think you know? I already know that. I already know this about God. I already know that. Now think about First Church, Church of Ephesus, in those churches. Think about, they say, oh, we have false apostles among us. We got this, we got that. But the thing was, they said, hey, you left your first love, huh? Now, they knew about those false apostles and all that stuff. And guess what they tried to do, guys? With their own reason and knowledge, they tried to get it out of the church. They chased it, trying to get it out. And by chasing it, they left their first love. Because what are they using? Their own knowledge, their own reasoning. So what did they need God for? They left the love of God and went to their own. Wow. Left their first love. First love was God. The answer was in God. The answer was in God. But they left that. Said, look at all this stuff we got in the church. We got to get rid of this. So they started reasoning about how they were going to do it. They chased it. And Jesus had to bring to me, he said, look, wait. What did he say? Make sure you hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He was telling them, listen to the Spirit. Don't follow your own knowledge. Don't follow your own reasoning. Don't follow any of that. Allow me to lead and guide you in how to get this out. Is Jesus walking among those seven churches? Yes, he is. Is he there to help me? He said, you need to do this. Repent or I'll come quickly, right? He's telling them to repent. Repent of you taking charge and reasoning and trying to get rid of it and allowing me, I'm the Christ in the midst of the church, allow me to do it. Come back to your first love, which is Christ. Ah, what is the church? Isn't it the bride? Is it actually Christ? Isn't that the church of Christ? It's his. So what are you doing trying to fix things in the church of Christ? What are you trying to do? How are you doing that? What you going to say, oh, step aside, God, I got this. Is that what you're going to do? Because that's what they did. They left their first love to try to get that stuff out. We do the same thing. Oh, they told me I have this in me. I have that. Oh, I better get this out. Let's see, now if I do this, if I read so many scriptures, if I pray so much, if I do this, I do that, maybe I can get rid of that. Maybe if I keep reasoning, whatever, keep doing it, and then you're just delaying yourself, aren't you? Because God's doing this. Okay, I'll wait until they get out the way because it's not up to them. What's the grace? Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And I labored more than they all, yet not I, but the grace that was in me. So don't you have to let that grace work? Didn't we read about grace in Romans just when we got started? It has to be by the grace of God. So why not step out of the way and let the grace work? Because that's what God wants to do. He wants to lead and guide you by the Spirit to show you why those things are in you. And then he's going to bring them forth and manifest. Remember what Gary showed you? He's going to manifest them, and then what's going to happen? As they're manifested, guess what's going to happen? All those weaknesses that come forth, guess what? Are they going to be taken into that apostle? He's going to bear them. Isn't that what he's going to do? He's going to reap the kernel of it. And then what's he going to do? Is he going to regenerate, baptize you in them. And then when that's regenerated in him, is it regenerated in? Yes, it is. That's the operation that we want. That's what we want. Use your faith. Use the measure that God's given you. Stop reasoning. Stop jumping to your thought about what you think this means. Even when you heard this preaching this morning, don't jump to your thought. Just remember what was said and allow God to add to it. That's different than, you know, I'm going to go figure this out. I'm going to look up the scriptures. I'm going to sit here and say, put my knowledge of what I think it means. This means this and this means that. That's what you're going to do. Then you're distracted from the word that just came to you. Think soberly, not drunken. Think soberly and allow God to bring you the understanding of this. Does that make sense? Just a group, a little small group of us here today. I just wanted to get that across to you. This intent is your faith in God. What is your intent in God? Your intent should be to use the faith he's measured out to you. Isn't that true? So that he doesn't have to come back to you and say, oh, ye of little faith. But yet your faith will grow as you hear the wisdom and understanding of God. Does that make sense? It has to grow because it's Christ. Does that make sense? It's a very big thing, guys. Very big thing. Anybody got any questions for me or anything? Go ahead. No, it wasn't. It was no bread. Him. Didn't get him anywhere. A lot of us do exactly what we said not to do. And wanted to see a sign. Sure.
And when you said that, you asked a question. You said, what is faith? And I said, well, faith is the substance of things hoped for, therefore things not seen. So I did exactly what the Pharisees would have did.
Right. Not by knowledge.
A work that you can do, but this is by the work of God, by the Spirit.
That's it.
Like you said, and I will say this scripture, but as it says, it's not by your might or by your power, but it's only by the Spirit of God, by my Spirit.
That's why that's written. And the might and power it's talking about is your might and power. It's not going to be by your might or your power. It's going to be by the Spirit of God. Now, just to have you think about something, Jesus brought up the two occasions where he fed 5,000 and 4,000 and was bread and fish and all that stuff. So can it be natural bread, natural fish that he fed the 4 and 5,000? Think about it. If he's comparing that to the bread He said, don't you remember when I did that? And you're worried about whether we have bread or not? Oh, so Jesus must have been giving them other things, huh? Must he have been giving them bread from heaven? Yes, he was. And they could take over. God always gives above and beyond. Catch what I'm saying. How did the scripture put it? Man does not live by bread alone. Here we go. But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Are we learning things that are not in that book? Is that going beyond? Is that the 12 baskets of fragments and the 7 baskets beyond what was given then? So now you're going to have to go back and rethink when he fed the 5,000 and the 4,000. And they took 12 baskets of fragments and 7. Now notice those numbers. 12 is the number of government. 7 is God's perfect number. 7 days. 7th day is the Sabbath day. The baskets left over. Could it be spiritual things? Yes, it is, guys. This is what he fed them. Wow. Very powerful. Just think. Just allow God to bring it to you.